And welcome back to our live legal call-in program, 1-800-LAW-CALL. I'm Frank Luber, along with our guest attorney here this evening, Carrie Staton from the firm of Shapur, Federico & Staton, where you can get answers to any concerns you may have about medical negligence, wrongful death, or personal injury that may involve yourself, a friend, or a loved one. Just call us right now. We have some open lines. We'd love to hear from you. I know it's vacation time for many people, but I also know that there are a lot of people out there listening, and they many times will wait, Carrie, until the very end of the program when we don't have enough time to really address their concerns. So now's the time to call, and we'll work you in ASAP. The number is 1-800-LAW-CALL. That's 1-800-529-2255. And to arrange a free private conversation with a member of the firm, just press option 2. Now, we have another case here this evening, Carrie, about a 43-year-old man who went to his doctor not once but twice with signs of a heart blockage until he had to return, this time in an ambulance. So what gave here?
And Frank, by the time he was placed in the ambulance, it was too late for him. As you said, this gentleman was 43 years old, had a primary care physician, and went to him with complaints of chest pain. Now, of course, when one thinks of chest pain, one thinks of a cardiac origin. But in fact, there are three potentially fatal causes to account for chest pain. An impending heart attack is one. A pulmonary embolism or blood clot to the lung is another. And aortic dissection is a third. The aorta is the large vessel coming out of the heart, and it carries the blood that the heart pumps down through the bodies and distributes it. It's a very, very large vessel. And sometimes, for various medical reasons, one of the three layers of the aorta, the most inner layer, will tear away from the other layers and thus create a false channel or a pocket where the blood flows into the pocket. That can have disastrous results to patients. Sometimes the aorta can go on to aneurysm, like a bubble in a tire, and burst. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that pocket goes down as far as it possibly can, all the way down to your renal arteries, from the chest all the way down. And then once it's reached its pinnacle there, it backs up into the heart and can kill the patient. And so chest pain is no light complaint to mess with. And so this gentleman came in, and because he had chest pain, the physician did a chest X-ray. Makes sense, among the other regimens. And the chest X-ray showed pericardial effusion, fluid around the heart. And it showed aortic dilatation, meaning his aorta was enlarged. Well, when you combine the complaints of chest pain, aortic dilatation, and fluid around the heart, the standard of care requires you to put aortic dissection or aortic aneurysm on your differential diagnosis, meaning the list of possible causes to explain the patient's presentation. Once that aortic dissection or aortic aneurysm is on the differential diagnosis list, the standard of care requires the physician to order appropriate tests and studies to rule it in or rule it out. You can't just rely on a chest X-ray. You can't just rely on the patient's complaints. You can't rely on the fact that the X-ray shows fluid around the heart and the aortic dissection. You need to get a CAT scan with contrast or an MRI or something called a transesophageal echocardiogram. These three studies will definitively tell you whether there's a true problem with the aorta, because if there is, it represents a medical and surgical emergency. Unfortunately, this physician failed to order those studies and simply sent the patient home. The patient returned 2 weeks later. And, of course, he had the same complaints. And the physician repeated the studies and added an EKG. The studies showed left ventricular hypertrophy. The ventricle is the pumping chamber in the heart. That's the workhorse of the heart, if you will. It's responsible for getting the blood out to where it needs to go. And hypertrophy simply means thickening. And so left ventricular hypertrophy meant a cardiac abnormality. But the repeat chest X-ray also showed pericardial effusion, as it had shown before, and aortic loop dilatation, meaning the aorta is now enlarged for sure, right? No question about it. The standards of care didn't change in the two-week period of time. This physician was obligated to get an MRI, a CAT scan with contrast, or a transesophageal echocardiogram to rule in or rule out the presence or absence of an aortic dissection or an aortic aneurysm. He failed to do so a second time and sent the patient home.
Now, this is a doctor's office we're talking about?
Yes, it is.
So it's twice now.
Twice now.
Okay.
Twice now. Mm-hmm. Less than a month later, this 43-year-old gentleman passed out at home, was rushed to an ambulance, rushed by ambulance, excuse me, to a different hospital where he was pronounced dead on arrival. And the subsequent autopsy revealed cardiac tamponade from an undiagnosed and untreated aortic dissection. What happened, Frank, is that the dissection went backwards into the pericardial sac, that sac around the heart, which had a little bit of fluid in it before. And when the innermost layer of the aorta tore, the heart was pumping blood into the pericardial sac, which surrounds the heart. As the heart pumped, it created more pressure around itself as that sac filled with blood, to the point where the heart was squeezed by the blood it was pumping into the sac, squeezed so much that it couldn't beat effectively anymore, and the patient died. That's pericardial tamponade. And that's one of the disastrous effects that can occur from an undiagnosed and untreated aortic dissection.
With all these signs that this man had, and it wasn't getting any better as he went back to the doctor, why would the doctor send him home rather than send him to, you know, for these tests, a scan of some sort, or maybe even send him to a specialist or maybe even in an emergency room to have more tests taken?
Well, that's a very good question, Frank. In my business, we see this kind of thing time and time again. It's unfortunate.
I mean, he wouldn't have been prepared to deal with the situation in his office.
Of course not. This is a surgical disease. It requires a thoracic surgeon to come in, crack a patient's chest, and essentially reinforce the aorta. Sometimes they do a section replacement, but it's nothing that is self-limiting. There are various types of aortic dissections. This is a type A, which is in the ascending arch, the part closest to the heart. Mm-hmm. Type B aortic dissections, where they can arise in the abdominal area. Sometimes patients can get away with no surgery. It depends on whether their blood pressure is maintained at a low level, whether their cardiac stroke volume is maintained at a low level. And sometimes they need endographic repair. Technology is marvelous. They can actually thread a device up through your femoral artery and deploy mesh, which expands outward and holds that dissection, that separate piece of flap, holds it against the rest of the aorta.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about the kind of aortic dissection that this gentleman had, where it's close to the heart, you need open surgery. But first, you need a diagnosis.
Yeah.
First, you need consideration of the possibility. You know, physicians, in my opinion, when patients present with chest pain, which is a common complaint, they're obligated to rule out the potentially catastrophic diagnosis because indigestion won't kill you.
Yeah, and right. But certainly there were catastrophic signs here. And as I said before, the doctor couldn't have possibly even taken care of this patient in his office. All the more reason to send him to somebody that could take care of him.
To a specialist. And as you said, you know, the doctor's not likely to send him to an emergency room unless the symptoms are very, very profound. Some doctors do that. And they recognize properly that there is a medical emergency happening beyond their capability to handle in the office. And so they send the patient over to the emergency room and they call ahead and notify personnel that the patient's on the way. This physician, unfortunately, never put two and two together. You know, he thought chest pain. He had pericardial effusion.
And had two cracks at it, too.
And two cracks at it.
Yeah, unbelievable. And the patient died.
The patient died at 43 years old, Frank.
Wow, unbelievable. You're listening to our live legal call-in program, 1-800-LAW-CALL. Our guest attorney here this evening is attorney Carrie Staton from the firm of Shakur Federico and Staton. And Carrie is here to answer your questions if you think there is a possibility that you, a friend, or a loved one has been the victim of a medical mistake or misdiagnosis which may have resulted in injury or death. Call us right now while we have some open lines to ask your question on air at 1-800-LAW-CALL. That's 1-800-529-2255. Or call anytime, day or night, and press option 2 to arrange a free and private conversation with a member of the firm. We're going to take a little bit of a pause here right now. And when we come back, you know, even with improved safety measures, wrong site surgeries continue to occur all too frequently. That and a whole lot more here on 1-800-LAW-CALL when we return.